from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Asking for a miracle. There are 63 games left, Donnie. The Pirates have 50 wins. 63 games left. If they go 34-29, I think they would probably make the playoffs. Do you?
Yeah, I think that sweet spot's right there in the mid-80s. Like, that was a discussion that I know a couple of the shows that we were having, Jason Mackey and I were having that conversation last week. Like, what is that number that the Pirates have to get to? The Diamondbacks, just for reference, they got in last year with 84 wins.
And the Cardinals have won a World Series at 83-79. Yeah, I was using the Diamondbacks as a point of reference. If we were to look at baseball's like season summary, like what teams had what records when they got into the postseason, I'm looking at like last year. So you had Diamondbacks, obviously 16 back, get in at 84 wins. Phillies at 90 wins, Marlins at 84 wins, Jays at 89. So the AL was stacked. Everybody in the AL except for the Twins, who won a very weak division, pretty stacked. So you had a couple teams get in at 84, and one of them goes to the World Series. The previous year, Donnie, when it was just when it was the six AL teams, the Rays got in at 86 wins, the Phillies got in at 87. And so those are your two lowest totals. To go back one more year, just for argument's sake. Now, this is the five teams making the playoffs model, Donnie. Five teams, it's a little bit tougher. Everybody in 2021 had 90-plus wins. We've had 2 years, though, of this six-team format where you've got three wild cards. And in the NL, it seems like it's been a little bit easier for teams to get in as far as record-wise. So I think you can look between 84 and 86 and pretty safely say that that's your target number. They've got to show me that they believe that this team can get there to that win total, help them get there. And then they've got to know, too, I think, as a front office, if you act that way, you know that if you get to 85 wins and get in, you can be a threat to anybody. In any event, that's what they've got to do for me. That's a bare minimum for me. Show me by adding at least like one or two players. I'm not going to sit here and beg for a bat that completely transforms the middle of their lineup. If they really want to go that route, go for it. Just show that you're not going to sit on your laurels and rest on your laurels and say, well, this is a year-to-year process. We're trying to build for the long term. You have no idea it can all go up in flames in baseball, especially when so much of this is predicated on starting pitching and we know how fickle injuries are. This is from Ben Cherington's show yesterday. He was on with Joe Block. This is Ben Cherington's response when he was asked by Joe if this team, and I, now, Donnie, I will say this. This is going to make people mad. I famously predicted that the Pirates would go on like an 11-game winning streak when they actually did it in 2018. I said, watch, they're going to do something stupid like go and win 11 games in a row and force Neil Huntington's hand and make him make a trade. And then it's literally exactly what happened. This, for a team that wins 6 of 7 going into the break and then 2 of 3 coming out of the break, Ben Cherington asked if that little streak of hot baseball affected his deadline plans.
Well, I don't think it changes anything in terms of what our preparation has been, because even, you know, before that run of 10 games that you referenced, you know, we felt this team was capable of doing that thing. And so we were preparing to be in a position to try to add to the team, to try to help the team get better. That was what our preparation has been going back several weeks now, and we felt like we could do that. And that was the goal. So the preparation and the goals haven't changed. It clarifies, and certainly the better we play over the next week, we'll continue to clarify that. What it clarifies is the math, basically. Like, you know, like, it does help the math look better at when we win, and that helps clarify, okay, this opportunity or this potential acquisition, you know, really could make sense. Whereas if the math is not as good or not looking as good, well then, you know, in some cases it's harder to justify, you know, things. So we still have more to learn, but it's kind of a tale of two things. It hasn't changed our outlook on the team. It hasn't changed our preparation or goals, but the wins do matter in the sense that they clarify for us like specific decisions or opportunities that either might make sense or might not make sense.
All right, Donnie, I want your thoughts on this too, and you can chime in 412-928-9370 if you want to get involved. That's the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. That sounded to me like a very analytical, I don't want to say cold because that's not the right word, but a very nuts and bolts way that he values a win, right? Like there's an obvious value judgment that they have to make. We could go after this big time player, but if our playoff odds are blank, it's not worth it. If they get to a certain threshold, then it is. I mean, that's bottom line to me how I interpreted that. That was my big takeaway there. If we keep winning games, I as a GM and my people are going to have more of an appetite to potentially do something big because we think we're going to be there at the end this year.
Yeah, and they have about a week to make this happen. And I also think it's a situation where I just think how the market is breaking down. And this is what Major League Baseball wants. They want more teams to be in the conversation. They want more teams and they want more fan bases to be invested and interested.
For the record, Donnie, I complain about that and say I miss the days when the season felt special, like you had to be a great team all year. Now that the Pirates at exactly one game over 500 are a half game out of a playoff spot, I'm going to pretend I never actually said any of that other stuff.
Yeah,
as I mean, you were.
And plus, they actually do feel like a threat due to their pitching if they were to actually.
Yeah, they're unique. They're unique among those teams in that nobody has, in theory, a better 1-2-3 in their rotation than they do if they can go Skeens, healthy Jones, healthy Keller.
But I think it's a situation, and I know that they normally aren't super aggressive, and when they are, everybody's going to jump all over the Chris Archer deal and what a disaster that was. But you may want to think about being more aggressive in this situation because it is such a seller's market, and there's only really a half dozen, maybe 7 or 8 teams at most. There's a few more in the American League than what the National League. There are 2 teams out of it. In reality, I know the Reds have actually made mention that they're going to pretty much concede. So I guess you could add them. But there are a lot of teams vying to be buyers and not many teams at all that'll be sellers. You may want to try being a little bit more aggressive in this situation than waiting down to that final day. I think it could get pretty tough and heated in that room as it nears 4 p.m. a little over a week from now.
The problem, I agree with you, but the problem with that is every team that's a seller knows that the more desperate teams get, the more they're offered. Like, they have no impetus unless you blow them away right now, 8 days out, with a pretty overwhelming offer to part with any premium asset, right? I mean, would you agree with that? It takes two to tango in any trade situation, and the teams that are on that obvious sellers list, they know that they can wait until damn near right at the deadline.
I mean, I would wait around if I were them too. But we've also seen situations where, you know, they do have players that they absolutely want to part with, this being any team that sells, and they wait around too long and nothing ever happens.
Ben Cherington, he also just asked to kind of reiterate sort of his thoughts and his motivations right now heading into the trade deadline. This is what he had to say.
You know, we have said before, we want to find ways to help this team get better. We want to find ways to help this team get better in starting now in 2024 and also help this team continue to get better going into the future. So it'll be us to work as hard as we need to and keep the phone lines open to figure out where those opportunities are.
That, I don't know. I hear that and hear a guy trying to be extremely careful about not verbally overextending himself and getting people too pumped up. I know that there's a tangible and practical reason why he doesn't want to say too much because he doesn't want to tip his hand to any team that could be trading with them. But like, people want to hear, no, we understand that there are things we need to add to this team and augment. And I hope what he says there, where he's just talking about pursuing avenues, is more GM speak, and that behind the scenes, he and his people are just acutely aware of exactly what they need and exactly what they have to do to go get it. Don?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Well, I wanted your interpretation there, my friend, of that little snippet from Ben Cherington.
I was getting the other one ready.
Oh no, we're gonna play that one coming up next. You don't have to worry about that one, big guy.
Okay, We've got a couple minutes locked and loaded.
Well, no, when I hear a GM talk like that, our intention is to do this. I do get tired of that statement only because, like, sometimes I wish the facade would drop a little bit and they'd be like, yes, we know that you're ticked off. We know that our offense has been near league worst. We understand that that's something we have to fix. That's like the fan in me says that, and then the guy who would have to be doing that job says, well, wait a minute, do you want everybody to know you're this desperate? Probably not.
I mean, I also kind of wonder when GMs around the league, like within like conversations with each other, like if they are or should be afraid of that. Like, should I be worried that this guy thinks I'm desperate? Like, they're probably just assuming, yeah, the Pirates absolutely need to add a bat. That's not a secret to anybody. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, do you think that if conversations are had between GMs around baseball,
I think everybody knows what everybody needs. I don't think like there's any fooling. I guess when I say this, you know what? There's probably, you might have changed my mind here. Like, he could probably say whatever he wants in the media because privately he can just go, I'm saying that for all the fans out there. They need to hear something. Like, here's where I'm really at, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I almost think it could be the reversal in a way, like the way you just put it. Like, he could come out to all of us and talk about being aggressive and them needing to add a player, and then behind the scenes kind of change his tune. However, that wouldn't sit well if A, that ever got out to anywhere, and B, if they really didn't come off as aggressive in any way, shape, or form after he said that. So he's just taking the like down the middle look, I feel, just to be safe.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dave.
It is 4:16. It's time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. 412-928-9370 is the way you get involved. What does the Pirates front office have to do to convince you, John or Jane Q, baseball fan, that this team is serious about contending right now? That it's not about next year, that it's not about the long term, that it's not about maximizing maybe the number of years of contention with Paul Skeens, that it's about the right here, right now, the chances in front of us, let's take it. 412-928-9370. Our good buddy Mike in Maryland has been hanging on the line. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, buddy? I did want to say, I heard your interview on 106.7 The Fan. That's actually the station I grew up listening to as a kid, so that was pretty wild and cool.
Those guys are pretty funny. They were very obsessed with Pony's Twitter feed, though.
Dude, they're a good time. I mean, they talk a lot of different stuff, but they also did say that you were quite the Pittsburgh connoisseur. So they said that you were their favorite guy. So that was pretty cool to see. But no, I was just thinking. I had two things really. One, I kind of piggybacking off of what you said. I think by adding somebody that. It just gives them a little bit of hope is really what you want to see. It doesn't have to be Vladdy Jr. It doesn't have to be something crazy. It just has to say, hey, you guys deserve this, and we're going to give you that chance. So I think that's part of it. But I also think the other part of it is Shelton recognizing who the guys are, like the weak links, like Perez. I don't understand why they keep trotting him out there. Probably because they paid him a good amount of money, but I'd like to see guys.
I think they're almost praying that he gets it together enough that some team, because they do have depth there. I think they're legitimately praying he gets it together enough in his next start that a team wants to give them like a song for him. Because I could see them saying that we'll go with Ortiz, Keller, Skeens, Falter. Bullpen game. Like, I don't even know if they want Marco Gonzalez now that he's back. I'm not even sure, Mike, that they want Martin Perez to start more than more time for them.
Right. And that's the thing, too. Like, I love Connor Joe. Great dude. But, I mean, how long can you keep trotting him out there? It's just a liability at this point. And, being able to swallow their pride and say, okay, look, like, this enough's enough. And we gotta throw some other guys out here.
Pretty simple with me and Connor Joe, at least I think, Mike, and thanks for the call. I just think it's all about play him when he should play. He rakes lefties. He does not rake righties. That's it. Play him when he should play. But I guess that's what Mike's getting at. Don't overextend them, man. You don't need to, if you're Ben Cherington, you don't need to fill your lineup with the 27 Yankees. You need to make it so that your lineup has fewer obvious holes. It seems O'Neill Cruz is turning into a star right now. Like, he's starting to hit like one for pretty much this entire month and going back into last month, too. Brian Reynolds has been great all year. You have gotten a lot more out of Rowdy Tellez lately. I haven't even checked Tellez these last couple of games. I don't think he's been great, but I still think, like, the at-bats look pretty good. Just off the top of my head, it hasn't been like, oh, well, hold on a second. He did have an historic performance Friday night. 0-for-1, 3 RBIs, 3 sacrifice flies. It is the baseball version of my favorite fantasy football stat line of all time. Jerome Bettis, 5 carries, 1 yard, 3 touchdowns. So he was producing runs. He was giving you professional at-bats. Basically, it's a sign for me that Rowdy Tellez is still seeing the ball well and having good at-bats. So you've got 3 right there. McCutcheon's still giving you something, as evidenced by what you saw Saturday. I think you get Connor Joe against the right matchups. He can still be productive. Hayes has been a tough watch. Nick Gonzalez, I enjoy watching go up there. I don't even think the approach is super refined. I think he's hunting pitches early in the count to hit and try to hit them hard. I'm fine with that. It's simple. Keep it simple, stupid, that kind of stuff. You need 1 or 2 more bats can plug into that lineup, pretty much an outfielder, is what you need. Somebody to replace Jack Sawinski. And then I think you need a bench batter. You need a platoon bat. Somebody that might not play every day for you. You've got a good enough pitching staff that you score 5 runs a game. 4 to 5 runs a game. You're going to win most games if you're this team. 4 should probably be the magic number you're trying to get to most nights. 5 is gravy. Good buddy Jeff in South Park, PM team number 2 fan on the line. Hello, Jeff.
Call me Richie Walsh because I got bucko fever.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. If it lasts longer than 4 hours, you ought to consult a doctor, Jeff.
I can't believe I'm actually more excited for the trade deadline for baseball than I am for Steelers training camp. What is going on right now? Like, I feel like waiting for the trade deadline, it's like that episode of South Park way back in the day when Cartman was waiting for the Wii to come out. He's just pacing outside the front of the store, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to come out for like another 8 days, and he's just going, come on, come on. That's me right now, waiting for the trade deadline.
Do you think they're going to do anything?
So you would think so. I don't know what they're going to do, but you were asking the question of what do I need to see? I want an impact bat. I mean, you know, if they bring in multiple guys, then it's probably going to be lesser ones, especially like a platoon bat. When in reality, you know, you're talking about not having Connor Joby overexposed. I mean, he should be the platoon bat. And if you only play him exclusively against left-handers, his numbers will go back up. I want to see an impact bat. And I actually, in addition to that, to show that they're really serious, I want to see them not shed salary either. Unless, like, trading Roldis Chapman is part of the package, bring in this impact bat, which, I mean, I don't even know how much value he has, but trading him just to trade him would honestly tick me off too. So I want an impact bat. My current man crush is Brent Rooker of the A's. And I don't want to see them unnecessarily shed salary. I just don't. Let's be serious here.
Well, Chapman's been, thanks, Jeff. I like that last point. Chapman's been really, you know, much better lately. I think he's had, like, I guess one outing I can really think of where he struggled mightily. But the last couple have been pretty good. That gets us to that last point, Donnie. I wanted to say that Ben Cherington brought up a different kind of trade you might hear happening this year. Let's get to that one right now. This is Ben Cherington on the style of deals you could see happening.
Potentially, you could see, you know, teams working with other teams that they're competing with even for a playoff spot to try to find a way to help two teams at the same time. Rather than there will be the traditional, you know, prospect for major leaguer deals that we see traditionally at the deadline. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of those. And typically those happen between a team that's out of it and a team that's going for it. But we also may see deals with, you know, major leaguer for major leaguer, or, you know, different shapes where two different teams are trying, or more than two different teams are trying to improve themselves, and can, you know, find a way to do that by maybe trading out of an area where they have a little bit more depth to an area that they have less. So you may see more of that. It's hard to predict.
I do think that what Jeff maybe inadvertently brought up there, though, could happen, Donnie. I don't know about you, but I could see a scenario where a team might actually need relief help and have a surplus of bats, or have a bat that's usable enough for the Pirates that would slot into their lineup. And they could move a guy like Chapman if they feel their bullpen is pretty good without him. And I think in theory, you could say that they could find a way to have their bullpen be still more than, you know, fungible without him. Holderman, Bednar is still a good 8-9 combination. You sort of figure Majinski kind of emerging, I would think, gives you a little bit of flexibility there, but I would at least be interested in that, because I think if you were trading major league player for major league player, I don't have any proof of this, but it feels like because each party would be giving away a known commodity, there's more of a chance that you'd be getting a fair deal in that shake.
Yeah, I also think there are other players they could even consider in that same sort of deal, if that does get brought up. I mean, I know Chapman is the popular one, but one who in the world knows what you could even get. I don't think that someone like Martin Perez would really net them much at all in a return. But if some team out there seems to think that he would fit in, or they're really that desperate when it comes to left-handed pitching, then I would listen in on that as well, because of how bad he's been the last few months. I think Chapman is the big one, though, that's going to get thrown around in those discussions. I mean, he has the big price tag for just 1 year. He's viewed as a rental-type player. It was really up in the air whether or not he would be on the roster after July anyway. And like you said, there are other guys that have pitched well in the back end of that bullpen. Now, where I do get worried is just I think baseball karma ends up being a real thing in these situations where let's say that that trade is made, that they send Aroldis Chapman somewhere for whatever they get in return. Then you start to get multiple injuries in your bullpen. Like that would be what would happen if they moved on from somebody who right now they view as a pretty important piece.
I would think baseball karma would respect them for being willing to trade from a position of relative strength to address a position of weakness. You're just looking at it more like the not only is the glass not half full, the glass is breaking, your hand is beating perspective. Chuck in Uniontown, I see that name. We're talking Pirates. I know we're going to go to him. Hey, Chuck.
Thanks again, Donnie. What Ben Sherrington needs to do is this. He needs to consult with his scouts and his farm directors, and that if he wants a certain player, make sure the big word here is quality. Make sure he's getting quality. Another Chris Archer fiasco will just kill the whole business. He needs to get quality from the other side. And if he does, if he wants player A, make sure that the other side gets him player A, and it doesn't back down away from that. Because I believe this. See, the Pirates don't have to make the biggest trade at the deadline, but if they make a quality trade, and the rest of baseball looks down with smiles on the Pirates, I believe that they could make postseason play. But the key is making a quality trade here. And if there isn't a quality trade to be made, don't make any trade at all. They know what the needs are.
Well, I don't think what you said at the end there is how a lot of people feel. The idea that if there's not a quality trade to be made, then don't make one. I think people, and I kind of understand this, want to see some action here. I also think that if you're looking for a bat, even though hitting is generally across the league at an all-time low, like guys are striking out constantly, I feel like it's a little easier to project how a hitter's going to do for a team than a pitcher. It just never worked out for Chris Archer here. You thought he would be good, even though some of the peripherals were starting to look a little bit shaky. Did anyone think Jay Happ was going to be a complete stud when they traded for him? I think that position's a little bit more fickle. So I would have less concern that they're getting a quality player if they're trading for a bat. You can look at the stats. You kind of know what you're supposed to get. You know, if you're getting a platoon bat, put the guy in position to succeed, and you would think he'll do probably what he's been doing for that team you just traded him for. Or traded with him for. Traded with for him. There we go, Donnie. Third time was a charm. The Donnie Football Debrief is brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Donald, fresh with that new sponsor. Take it away.
The Debrief, July 22, 2024. Malzy, we always like having fun with these. We're getting closer. We are getting closer. Training camp for a few teams now has already opened up. But there are still lists being put out there. This one from Pony's buddies at FanDuel. They put together the list of top 10 dual threat quarterbacks of all time. Did you get a chance to see this
one? I did not. I'm excited. So wait, can I try to name them?
Sure.
And we're just talking NFL dual threat quarterbacks, right?
Yes.
All right,
of all time.
All right. You ready for this?
Yes.
Hold on. All right. I have a list. Now, I'm just going to try to name all 10. I'm not going to do it in order, but I'm going to try. All right.
I will tell you where the guy is if his name is on there.
I'm going to say number one is Lamar Jackson.
LaMarvelous is number one.
All right.
FanDuel loves him.
I'm going to say number two is actually Steve Young.
He is number four.
Michael Vick.
He is number three.
Randall Cunningham.
He is number 5.
Hold on. Fran Tarkenton.
He is number 9.
Hold on. Boy. Just wait. I'm going to get all the way there. I'm definitely going to do it. Josh Allen.
He is number 6.
All right, now we're getting to nitty-gritty time.
For the record, I disagree with the player they have there, as I'm guessing you will, because you have not named him yet.
All right, can I tell you what's going through my head right now? I have a feeling that whoever's at number 2 is overwhelmingly known for their passing and is more of just a scrambler when he absolutely has to, but because he's had a couple big runs and they want to include him on this list, he's there, which is Mahomes.
No, Mahomes is not on the list.
Okay, well,
I was going to say it is not that type of player.
Okay, well, I respect them for not doing... Is it a guy who was not really good at passing and was just a runner?
I wouldn't say he was an awful passer. I mean, he had a pretty bad, like, last few seasons. Somebody who retired relatively early, but definitely was a very good runner in his day.
This is driving me nuts.
I'll throw you this clue. We've seen this guy in the last 5 to 10 years.
But he hung him up pretty early. Oh, this is going to drive me insane. Let me try to think of other ones while I'm at it here. Cordell Stewart.
No. Slash is not on the list.
Come on.
Slash is not on the list.
What kind of a list is it then?
These are Pony's cronies that you can complain to.
Yeah, Pony's cronies got it wrong. McNair has to be there.
Number 7 for Air McNair.
Oh boy.
So you have named 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 9.
So 2, 8, and 10. Oh man. Oh, this is tough. This is tougher than I thought it would be. It's tough. Well, I'm just trying to think of, like, players who've recently hung him up or players who... I'm struggling. Are all of the guys that I haven't named players from the modern, and by modern, I'll even just say the 2000s, the ultra-modern era?
Yes, all 3. In fact, 2 of the guys on the list are still currently playing.
They don't have Deshaun Watson, do they?
No.
Good. This is going to really chat my ass that I can't think of this. They shouldn't have Lawrence. He's not that good. Herbert.
No.
Well, Donnie. Oh, Jalen Hurts got to be on there.
Hurts is number 10.
Jalen Hurts so good?
Yes, number 10.
What does Berman actually call him on primetime? Do you know?
I don't know, but that would be a good one.
Yes, it would.
Would it not?
Yes. By the way, Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. All right, let's go like 30 more seconds here. I don't want to belabor my guessing here.
So I'll give you another clue.
One is active and one's done. Then.
Yes, and the one that is done has retired in the last few years.
Breeze retired, Brady retired, Eli retired. God, this is bugging me, man.
I'll give you another clue on number 2.
Okay.
He had one huge season.
RG3?
No, but now here's what I'll say. He had one huge season surrounded by
Cam Newton. That was... I'm embarrassed, dude. I don't know why my brain shut off. That should have been an easy
one. That was
one.
Like my Mr. Larson of the day. My Don Larson no-hitter.
They don't have Andrew Luck as a dual threat, do they?
No. I think you'll be surprised by who
I'll cry,
is
uncle.
Lurking at number 8.
I'll cry, uncle, on number 8.
None other than now Steelers' own Russell Wilson.
Ah.
Number eight.
I think Fields probably belongs on there more than Russ.
So, I mean, they have the Seahawks logo next to him. So, I mean, I would guess his time in Seattle, I would say he definitely fit the bill.
He was a dual threat. He never really had design runs, but when he would drop back and then just decide to say screw it and scramble, I mean, he was very, very tough.
Correct.
I think it's a pretty good list. You know who I actually think gets short shrift here, believe it or not? I actually think they're jobbing Steve Young a little bit.
Absolutely,
putting him at fourth.
They are.
I think Steve Young should be second behind Lamar.
I agree. He should be in the top three, I think, no doubt. I would move Newton out of the top three and have
I'd put
Jackson,
Randall Cunningham.
And Young.
I think I could justify putting Randall Cunningham up in the top three.
Yeah.
Cunningham had that renaissance with the Vikings after like the truly insane athleticism had gone away and was throwing balls up to Randy Moss.
Yeah, I mean, I've always seen like Cam Newton as good player, but like nowhere near great, nowhere near Hall of Fame. I always think like you'll get that every single offseason, like, oh, is Cam Newton a Hall of Famer from Twitter pages?
No,
like this.
Not in my opinion.
He's not in the universe of a Hall of Famer.
No. Eli Manning, despite having many bad seasons on his resume, I would put in the Hall of Fame before I'd put Cam Newton there. Which some people might argue with, but
oh, I don't even think that's close. Steve, I would put Manning in there 10 times out of 10.
The problem here is that people think dual threat and immediately go to running. Dual threat means passing and running. Steve Young should be number two. All right, I like that debrief, Donnie. You were very correct to think that I might enjoy that. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy. I cannot read this. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions, sunchevy.com. High of 85. There's been some rain today. Still might be some lingering showers around. A low of 67 degrees. Overnight tonight.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.